All right. Good morning, TechEd. Thank you very much for being here in my session, the last day of TechEd. So I'm assuming you're all looking forward to the great party of tonight. But thanks for being here after 3 days of a lot of technical knowledge and a lot of great sessions. I hope you enjoyed it already so far. I am Mike. I am not from the USA. You will probably hear that on my accent, but I am from Belgium. And today I would like to talk with you about building up a self-service catalog. And during this session, because it's an architecture session, I'm going to try to give you tips, pointers, and maybe even a method to start such a project into your own companies or for end users or even for customers or yourself. I will talk a little bit about technology, but just be warned, this could be a very boring session with less demos. So maybe now is the time if you want to see demos. No? Everybody's staying? Okay, we got to go. Oh. So what's on our agenda today? First, I'm going to talk about what is self-service. How do we need to see this? Why do we need this into our private cloud? I'm also going to talk about how end users actually see self-service. I'm also going to talk about what the perspective is for IT. How do they see end service? What are the big dangers for IT? Just a quick question here, but who's actually working in IT technical level and needs to do this? Not that many people. We have a lot of architects in this room that need to develop this solution. A few, okay. We're also gonna talk about the fact self-service, is this only an IT matter? What do we mean by that? Is it only IT that needs to be driving this? Or are we going to have to talk to other business units? Are we going to talk? Are we going to work together with different business units? And then we're just going to do this, a simple method which I've used on many cases and many companies that builds up the self-service catalog very easily, step by step, starting with little, very little steps. I'm going to do also a few things live, which I will show you with System Center Service Manager on how to do this and use that self-service portal to implement the things I'm saying here. And at the end, I will give you a few additional tips which I've encountered and learned the hard way, meaning I've run a few times into a wall, getting my nose broken and things like that. And those tips you can use in your own projects and try to avoid those if you start with them. So, let's get started. First, very short, because I'm pretty sure you've heard a lot about it this week. What is exactly this private cloud? And I'm using the definition of NIST, which is the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and they have kind of five different characteristics for this cloud. And one of them, the important one for today, is the on-demand self-service, making sure that people can do requests all by themselves without IT need to do stuff. That also includes automation. Self-service, according to those definitions, comes automatically with automation. What you will see during my presentation that automation is indeed one of those steps, but probably a step that goes into phase two or even phase three. Like I said, start with small steps. Other characteristics, just to be complete on this slide, is that your private cloud should be accessible everywhere. It also counts, of course, for your self-service portal. It should be able to, if you're on the network, if you're on a VPN, and even for some companies, if you're just connected to the internet, that you can access that self-service portal. Preferred, of course, with a little bit of security here. Private cloud is also about resource pooling, getting all your hardware together. Again, you've probably seen this many occasions this week. Getting everything together, get a layer on top of it so that you can pool all your resources and build up your clouds. Elasticity. One of these items that they say, well, if our service is getting full, we need to have a way to expand it. And the other side, the moment our service is not that busy, that we kind of make it smaller again. That's also very important when you start working with self-service, because one of the downsides of self-service is, of course, that people can start doing requests. And if it doesn't have to be approved anymore by IT, but gets approved by other people, like their peers or managers, that they kind of approve everything, and that you need more storage, computing power, other things, right? And last but not least is about metered use. Private cloud means everything you do, everything you use, you're going to, well, pay for it. Whether this is paying internally, or actually paying really in your companies or with like a service provider with their customers, you kind of have to know what people are using, and you need to write the checks out to those people. This is also very interesting for IT these days, because one of the most difficult things I've encountered in my career in IT is, well, we need servers. And then you go to your boss and say, I want new servers, because we're kind of almost full. And then that boss says to me, well, yeah, okay, I believe you, but can you show me? Because my boss doesn't believe me, and he wants to have the straight figures to see that the servers are full. And then I can probably open something and show you some resource graphs and things like that, but that's it. So with this private cloud, you need to be able to actually do that and to prove to your bosses what is exactly being used. And the same will be for self-service. Again, people are going to do requests. You need to know about it. You need to get that information. And you need to be able to go to your boss, look, they just asked us 15 new virtual machines this month alone. Why do they need them? Well, we don't know, but their managers approved it, but I'm hitting my limits. And not only about virtual machines, because what I've seen on many sessions is that when we talk about self-service portals and things like that, that people start talking about, well, yeah, this is great for request our new service, request a new virtual machine. But self-service is much more than just computing power. Self-service is actually something which you can offer to your end users, and it will give them the ability to do other stuff than only request IT things. And we'll use simple example during the rest of my presentation, but another simple example could be, well, there is a light broken somewhere in a room. Well, self-service could be that they go to the portal, that they report there's a lamp broken in room S220F, I think I'm in at this moment, and it automatically gets to the facilities. Now, no IT involvement here, but it's still a part of self-service. All right. Now, first, let's discuss why would end users want self-service? And this is a question you have to ask yourself in your own company. I mean, this is a picture taken at a Dutch airport. I'm not from the Netherlands, so. But I spend a lot of time there since I quite travel a lot. And every time I go there, I think this is very easy. I go in, I take my passport, I put it on the scanner, type in some data, and I'm checked in. The only thing left for me to do is grab my bag and drop it off at the bag drop, which goes very fast. Now, why would I want to do that, to do all the work myself, when I can actually have this lovely lady helping me totally like it used to be? You go to the counter, she helps you, you give her a password, she does some great things on her computer, and you got your tickets. You got a smile, you're ready to go. Now, one of the reasons is time. I still can remember those days I had to be in line waiting at the counter to get the check-in. With those new systems, I just go to one of those boxes, and in a couple of minutes, I'm ready, dropping off my bag, and ready to go shopping or grab a coffee or something like that. So time is very important for your end users. If you want to convince those guys that they need self-service, then one of the things you need to make sure is that it's much faster as they used to be. Okay? Second one is having control. It's all about having control. And you have to be honest about this. How do you feel when you're above that lovely lady and you give your password and she does something and then finally gives your tickets? You had no control at all. You had no idea what she typed in. You had nothing. The same happens with your end user. When they need to make a phone call to you or send you an email or even go into your office and say, hey, could you do something for me? They have no control. They feel that they are without control. When they do this through a portal, and they have self-service, and they fill in a few things and say next, and they get an automatically, they get a ticket that says, okay, this ticket is open, it's now being worked on, it's resolved. They feel like they have control. So for that reason, they would like to use things like self-service portals. Now let's have a look why we as IT want to do this. And that's another question. One of the reasons is try to lose time by avoiding repetitive tasks. I mean, I probably assume many of you here had to work once at help desk and service desks, and those guys or those girls lose a lot of time by typing in the same things and doing things all over again, every day again. We're going to try to avoid that by using self-service portal. One of the things that is already avoided at that moment is typing in the new ticket, because that's been done now by your end users or by your customers. So that is the reason why IT should do this. Another reason is the less you are going to do, the more time you get for more. What I mean by that is every minute or every hour, and this is a quote from my co-presenter yesterday, that you spend in building self-service are dozens of hours you will gain to be able to do other tasks. Now, normally, this is the moment I get people from helpdesk and say, wait a minute, you're going to steal away my job. I'm going to be out of a job. In reality, that seems to be completely wrong. What we see is that those people get other jobs, still working at service desk, but the tasks they're doing are changing. They're getting more, in my vision, interesting jobs to do. They will be able to work together with the second team, the third level teams, those kind of teams, to work on automation, to do more pleasant tasks and not doing the same thing every day over and over again. Self-service catalogs and portals, they have the ability to offer some blocks for yourself or for your customers or end users, depending on your scene. Meaning you can have all these little tasks, and we'll talk about those a little bit later, that you can offer to your end users, which they can do automatically, which makes your catalog bigger and bigger. So IT should look at this. They really should look at this, because all these little blocks that will be not only in a portal, but in the second or third phase also automated, will give you a better service to your end users. This one is my favorite. Many service desks still work, even at very large companies. You have these rules that say, okay, you have to fill in a form or you have to send an email. In reality, what happens is everybody still calls because their problem is the urgent. And in worst case, you have these service desks that are kind of open in rooms and companies, and people just walk in, grab you by the shoulder and say, hey, I've got this serious problem. Can you help me now? And they stay with you until you fixed it. So there goes your queue, there goes your lines, and their problem is always the most important one. Now, I'm not yet talking about VIP users, because that's even something else. They are way more important. But this portal thing will help you to reduce call volume, because end users will be more happy to fill in a small form, 2-3 things, than actually pick up the phone and call and say they have a problem. Again, a reason for IT, because of the self-service portal, it's proven that end users will say they have a better user experience. And I used to work for one of these companies where we had every 6 months, we had this evals that were sent to end users, and they had to say how good they felt about IT. I can assure you, the first couple of years I worked for that company, we had very bad grades. And the more we started to let the end users themselves stuff, filling in forms, making sure that they're in control, the better, actually, our grades became. And last but not least, this is maybe a stupid reason, but self-service will be on your plate anyway. It will come there. If it's not today, it will be there in 2 years, in 3 years. So you better prepare yourself for it. Because if one day some high director or manager in your company says, I want self-service now, you need to be there. And this process can take very long to create within your environments. Right. Now let's talk a little bit about the different dangers we have when we're working on a self-service catalog project or a self-service portal. There are a few dangers that you as IT really need to look at. One of these dangers is if you make it way too difficult for users, you're doing a lot of work and it doesn't work. One of the things we showed in the beginning, the picture of the airport, why do I do this? Because I need to touch a few buttons and fill in a few things and it's done, it's easy. The same with this ice cream vending machine. Why do people want to get them themselves? Because they only have to take one handle and it's done, it's easy. If you make it difficult for them, they're not going to use it. Second big danger in such a project is if you don't have buy-in, you don't have a go. In many companies, we see it's IT that needs to drive this project. And if all the other business units are not interested in this project or are not involved in this project, While you can do an awesome job, you can make great technical stuff, and people won't use it. The idea should be that you actually get those people inside rooms and get them involved. Make sure that they are thinking that they are running this project as well. Not on the technical level, but at least on the decision level. That you're actually working together with you to provide, yeah, we would like to do that, we would like to do that. How you can do that? A few things. Do a lot of meetings. I know that's a waste of time for many of us. But you need to do that to get these people involved. You can use group emails, you can work with memos, you can even work with focus groups if you want to. But you really need to get those people involved. And the result of that is, if those people feel that they're involved and that they actually have something to say about the service you are going to build for them, that you will get the support of your key stakeholders. And now here's a question. Who is the key stakeholder in many cases in a project like this? Is it management? Who thinks it's management? I'll try it like this. Nobody? Who thinks it's human resources? Nobody? Well, actually, it is human resources. Human resources in many companies should be the key stakeholder in this. Because they will tell, in the end, by writing out rules, by creating those documents that every employee has to sign, they will make sure that people get involved. If you have HR with you, you will get new rules to the end users saying, hey, if you got an issue or you need to do something, use the self-service portal. You will get a ticket, it will be worked on, things like that. And they will also drive it from the end user perspective. It would be great if we would be able to get that. Can you arrange that? And HR is a very important business unit in that one. Okay, another tip you can use, if you're going to do this, target first, your first few things, target them at 30-something or younger. And the reason for that is they are the digital native guys, right? They are used to working with the internet. They are used to working with filling in forms, doing self-service, things like that. It will give you a quick win. It's that easy. And if you have a few quick wins, that means you will get the budgets and you will get the time and the resources to continue building this. And if you can continue building this, you will also make sure that it's much more easier on your side. Okay? The biggest danger, however, in this project is keeping control. Because you're going to offer some services to your end users, that means they will be able to start playing, start doing requests. And if you're going to go to the level that the improvements are going to go are done by other people outside the IT, like their managers, like directors, or even if you have self-service that will make sure that people don't need an approval for something, that means you lost control. And when I talk to IT departments, that is actually the thing they say, well, okay, we want to do something self-service portal, but if we're scared of losing control, they're going to do all sorts of things, and we can't control it. Look at the example of the virtual machines. My machines are running because every development department can start requesting virtual machines. I can't control it, and everybody needs it, and they actually request for 8 gigabyte RAM, 1 terabyte of storage, and I can't control it anymore. Well, while that is partially true, because you need to make sure that you can get the costs back, you can actually, with the metered use, you can prove to everybody that, well, this department is using that much, let them pay for it and just give us new hardware. And second, you need to have a smart ticketing system or change management system behind these self-service catalogs. If you have that, that means that you actually will make sure that you see everything every week, every month, that you have all these different tickets, and that you can prove to your peers and your peers to their peers what is actually requested and what people are doing in the business. So this one is certainly something you need to keep an eye on. All right. Last but not least, I already said it a bit, but this is change. And we're IT guys. We deal with change like every year. Systems are changing, methodologies are changing. We're talking about cloud computing now, so we're used to this. But your end users are not. Many of the end users are probably requesting stuff already for 30 years of the same way. That means they have to change their methods, the way they work. Now, this could be a very killer for your project. People don't want it. don't want to change. They're happy doing it the way they're doing it. So the only way you can make sure that people want to do the change is if you work together. This project, although in many cases driven from the IT department, should not be about the IT department alone. And if you get this kind of project, make sure you make it clear to your bosses. Okay, it's a great project, I want to do this, great, but we need involvement of all the other business units, of our end users, maybe even of our customers. Because if you work together and they drive it as well, then you will have the possibility to have change, because they will say, well, we want to go this and this and this, and then they will do it. If you just put in a great catalog, and this can be the best catalog ever in the world, but they weren't involved, and you just write out the memo, from now on you need to do this and this and this and this, well, I think we all know how it works at that moment. Nobody uses it anymore. So make sure that you work together with different business units. And again, HR could be a very good business unit at that moment that drives a lot of these changes. All right, now for the rest of my presentation, I'm going to start working with an example, because now what we're going to do is we're going to actually start building up a self-service catalog. Okay, and there are many examples you can use, but I've decided to start actually with a very simple example. And the example here, what we're going to use is printing issues. And printing issues means, well, we kind of have three, or we have a general failure, which means something is wrong with the machine and somebody has to fix it. Or we're out of paper, or the inked in it, the toners need to be changed, right? Those are the three most common things you have with printers. And this is something what we're going to put in a self-service catalog, which people now can request. Now, because this is printing, that also means that we have to involve another department, because who is actually going to make sure that the paper is replaced, or that the toners, it's facilities managed. It's not IT. Some companies it's IT, but most companies, they have a different support group for that. It also means we got a third party involved, because if the printer goes wrong, you probably have to call one of the printer vendors to fix this, or a partner, things like that. And this also means, because I use such a simple example, I want to show that you can build this very easily and quickly, which is your quick win, and going on to the next steps, which would be probably user management. Before we start, think different. Think as an ISV. Stop thinking that you're working internally and that you're part of the company, which of course you are if you're working internally, but think that you're actually dealing with customers. You are the ISV and you're going to offer something to end users. That is what you should think when you start with it. And then we're going to start with the first thing, and that's create different categories. And those categories we're going to build is, well, you have some meetings and you start thinking about categories. Categories are going to be the top-level categories. Examples are email. Not just say exchange, but say email. And email could involve a lot, which we will see in a slide or two, but you start with simple categories. Few tips on this one. Don't use IT terminology. Don't use project names. What I mean by that is that you see that many categories are built within IT terminology. Remote assistance, VPN. It's better to use working away from the office so that end users actually understand it when they go to the self-service portal. Instead of saying, yeah, okay, this is VPN. Maybe some users don't know it. Okay? So, let's have a look how we can do this and how it looks in Service Manager. Go. Here we go. So this is my Service Manager portal. And on my portal, I can build all these different categories. I have categories such as applications, files and data, data center offerings, which probably would be more for the IT department or for developers, user account management, working away from the office. These are your top-level categories. Below, you will have many more options. You will kind of have the menu that you can work with. Now, in Service Manager, creating something like this is actually pretty easy. So we're going to go to Service Manager Console, which is the service desk or the ticketing system of Microsoft within the System Center suite. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my library. I'm going to go to my service catalog, which is something built in the product. I'm going to go to the service offerings. And I'm going to say create service offering. And already you will see a few things that we're going to discuss also later on, but which you can fill in within those offerings and which are very important for your service catalog. My apologies. Here we go. A little bit too. Click two times. This machine is not that fast. I apologize for that. So first, this is Microsoft, which means we have wizards, and we start with before you begin. The next one is just a title. So in this case, I'm going to start with my printing category. Here we go. If you want to, you can add a nice logo on it, things like that. You can also choose your category. Data center requests, HR, no, not HR, maybe hardware, things like that. Let's keep it on hardware. And then you can create an overview on the portal page. All offerings for printing. Here we go. Maybe add in a nice description. In the interest of time, I'm not going to spend too much time here, but offerings, printing. And you're going to place it in a management pack. And for those who don't know what a management pack is within Service Manager, you have to look at it as a big box where you put customizations in. And for each customization you make, you are able to create your own management pack, even export it and put it into another environment. But also means if you're tired of my printing example here and you tried it out and say, no, I don't want it anymore, you delete the management pack and it's all gone within the system. But for this, okay, I'll take my management pack off Tagat 2012. Here we go. And on this page, you can already start filling in your service level agreement information, things we're going to talk about a little later. But you could fill in very shortly what kind of service level agreements you have, or if it's internally several service level objectives. You can add a link to somewhere on your intranet portals where all that information is located. You can already talk about costs. Saying, for example, well, each time that I have to come to your department and change the paper, that will cost you a few cents. That will be of the budget, the office budget of your department, things like that. Also, again, you can fill in links if you want to portals. And this is related services. And related services, in the case of printing, most people will tell me, yeah, it's just printing. There's no other service. But in reality, what you could add here is, if you have more components of the System Center Suite, one of the services that could be related is network. Without the network, we're probably not going to be able to print. Another service that could be important is Active Directory. If your machines don't support that you can print anonymously, or you have this email boxes or things like that on this multifunctional printers. So you can add those here, which means if we have some issues, we can actually see what services could be infected. Okay? You can add some nice knowledge articles, and I'm going to talk about this one, but this is actually very important, and all those who work in IT will probably say writing knowledge articles is not my thing. But this is very important in a self-service to write simple, easy knowledge articles. If you don't do that, well, probably people will phone you anyway. Again. You can add request offerings, and this is something I'm going to do a little bit later, but the request offering is actually, well, while the service offering is the big category, the request offering is the specific one. So the out-of-paper request is one, the getting a new toner, getting new ink is one, or fixing my printer problem is one. So that is actually just one simple offer that you can create here. And then finally, you just have to decide to publish it. And it can be in draft if you're still working on it. Oh, not responding. Here we go. Or you can put it published. And my friend sitting in front here will be the one offering this. Very important, the offering owner is not always a guy from IT or a girl from IT. If it's a server that has to do with user management, it's probably somebody from HR. In this case, printing, it probably will be something from facilities management offering this service. Okay? Some notes if you want to, and so on. And as usual, we got a summary, and we're going to create this. Now, before I actually can get this in the portal and show you, I have to add at least one request to my category. Otherwise, it won't be shown. So I already prepared one. We're going to go to our request offerings. We're going to go to our published request offerings, and there should be somewhere with printer. Here we go, printer out of paper instant, and I'm going to add this one to my new printing offering. Here we go. Here we go. At. Okay. Now what will happen is, I'll show you here. I'm going to refresh this one. So we're going to get a new service offering. Here we go. Under hardware, printing. Open it. And you will get your first request offering. And this, of course, we're going to build up to have some more. Well, actually, in total, two. And what it does is, just to show you, we're going to go for this printer out of paper incident. I'm going to go to my offering. And your end user, the only thing he or she has to do is select a printer. Here we go. If he or she wants, you can actually see all these details, which server name, and so on, and so on, that is filled in the CMDB. And because it is out of paper incident, the only thing he or she has to do is select a printer and finish. Keep it easy. Submit, and we got a ticket. If I go now here to Service Manager again, and let's say Facilities Management has access to this, they will be able to have a view under Incident Management. Go to Printer Incidents, open this up, and actually see, if it wants to open, and actually see that there is a new incident in queue for them, which location, what's the printer, and so on. And you will see how I've built this, because we're going to build this up, the entire template, everything, that you don't need to program for it. So all these fields are already filled in. I didn't program anything, because, well, basically I can't program. It's that simple. And yet, the only thing now that Facilities Management needs to do is fix the problem, resolve this incident, and say, we added paper, done. Okay? Make it easy, not only for your end user, but also for your departments that are going to use this one. Here we go. So, quickly go back here. All right. So we just built ourselves a, here it is, our category. Now, the next thing we're going to have to look at is looking at the menu. We got this printing category. I said applications, data files, working away from the offices, user management, all those things. Now we have to think, what are we going to offer? Right? How are we going to do that? Again, this is something you need to do together with your end users. In case of printing management, what you're going to do is you're going to talk to facilities management. You're going to say, okay, we want to offer them self-service for these people. What are the big problems you have? Maybe it's not only out of paper. Maybe that is even something that your end users do themselves. But toners, they could do themselves. Or maybe it's more the problem of printers going weird and they have to call always these vendors. Talk to those people. Make sure that you get the information from them which they are suffering the most. You will be surprised how many easy tasks you're going to get that you can build in half an hour. Set the expectations. I've spent many meetings, you know, in my vision, waste of time, with non-IT people that love the idea of self-service, but then start thinking, I want this, 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 this. Be honest about it. Tell them, yeah, we can do that in a self-service portal, but all the work afterwards will still be manually, at least in phase one. Make sure that they understand that when you offer something like that, it's not like they fill it in next and somewhere in the back a robot starts doing crazy stuff and everything is automatically. That would be great. And probably many of the things we can actually do it like that, but set from the beginning the expectations. Yeah, we can do this, but keep in mind there's still manual steps. And some steps in the process could be automatically, of course, but other ones will still be manually. One of the steps, of course, being getting approvals. Now, that would be great if you could automate those things, but unfortunately, that doesn't work yet at this moment. And then after we did this and we have the menu, we start to create our service catalog. And a few of those fields you can actually use is, and apparently my PowerPoint slides are not completely on it, but sorry about that. First, name it, printing. Then say, what is on the menu? Out of paper, change toner, general failure. What is not on the menu? Install the printer. Maybe you have another system. Maybe it's automatically when people get their laptop and they're in Department X, they will get the correct printers. It could be also in the services, of course, but look at your own business, see how it works. Give them some service options. What do we mean by options? Well, it could be that you need to replace the printer for whatever reason. That is an option. But it's not in the SLA. If the SLA is, which you can see on my screen, that when there's a new request for out of paper or toner and it's fixed within the 4 hours, well, replacing a printer probably in 4 hours will be difficult. Unless you got some standing around in the back, which would be expensive, I think, for many companies, but it's going to be difficult. Think about your SLAs. Our requests will be resolved in 4 hours, business hours. Make sure you put that in as well. Why? Well, my first SLA ever when I worked internally, I had something the same. I said, yeah, we'll fix those things in 2 hours because they were very easy jobs. Well, we forgot to mention that was during business hours. So at 6 hours, 6 o'clock in the evening, everybody left, IT left, and some guys worked till 8, 9 o'clock. The printer broke down and they expected that we could fix it by 11 in the evening, which of course meant that we had to run back to the office. There were some things I've learned from the past that you make sure that you put that in very well. Who is the SLO team? Is it the infrastructure team? And that's actually a mistake. That should be the facilities team here. Well, who is responsible for getting that SLO? What are our service hours? 8 to 5, 9 to 5, even 12-5 is possible. But make sure you get those. What's the scope? This service, printing, company-wide. But think about user management. Is that company-wide or is that only for specific divisions? Think about other things we saw, like working away from the office. Is it only for Salesforce or are even accountants allowed to do this from home? Could be, but think about it. Think about the importance, and I said mission critical here, and then at that moment many managers start to laugh, but printing apparently is very mission critical. I've been in too many companies that says, well, if our printer doesn't work for a couple of hours, we can't work. So think about this. Who is the owner? And do we have outsourcing on this? Now, this is just a few examples. Your service catalog could be much bigger. It should also include fields such as when is it last updated? If it's from a service catalog that's 4 years old, probably you're running behind on the technology. Things like that. So you're building up your menu, right? Okay. Also think, and this is very important, you've built up your menu, and we're going to start immediately now by actually doing this within the technology, that you have two views. You have the user view, and you've got the IT view. The IT view will be completely different from the user view. Because if you look at our example, what a user just wants to do is select a printer and say there's an issue. From the IT view, you need to build this into your products. You need to build this into a ticketing system. You need to have change requests. So there's a large difference in the two views. You can also start here by creating a service map. And a service map basically is, well, we got printing, and this is what we need to ensure printing works. What do we need? We need the network. I already told that. We probably need email when these things are also scanning and sending stuff and... we need Active Directory because, well, if we have email and we have it connected and we have mailboxes on those printers, that means we need Active Directory or some kind of directory system. So you can create your service map here, and after a while, not in phase one, but in phase two, phase three, when you're automating a lot of stuff, it can come automatically within that service, which means that all of your technicians on the service desk or the help desk or whatever, that they will be able to see there's an issue with printing, and let's say there's an issue with printing everywhere, that they will be saying, okay, that means we can check networking, AD, email, and so on. It also means if somebody's doing an upgrade on email, that it's very easy to see for the service desk to send out an email or a communication saying, hey, email is going to be out tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening from 8 to 12, which means that you won't be able to scan and send something to your PC. Think about that. All right, so let's just build this. Here we go. We're going to go back to our service manager. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to build ourselves some templates and then push this all onto the self-service catalog. And what we're going to show you is a simple incident, say, replace toner. That's it. Okay? So here we go. We're going to go to library, and the first thing we're going to do is create some templates. And those templates you're going to build, you will be able to reuse for other things. But the templates, what do we mean by that is, you've got the standard forms in every incident system or every ticketing system, and you're going to pre-fill them in with some information. And the first thing I'm going to make is a manual activity. So, this is a Tagat demo. Change toner manual. Manual activity. There we go. You can add a description. I'll just copy paste this for now. But in real life, you will put some more time in it. And I'm going to create this from a specific class, and this class will be a manual activity. Why is it a manual activity? Well, replacing a toner at this moment will still be very difficult to automate, so it's somebody who's going to have to do this manually, right? I'm going to save it in my Tagat 2012 management pack, again, to make sure that everything is in one box, that you can export it to other divisions, to other customers, but also that you can delete it if necessary. And now it will open me a form where you can add some information. And that information will be something that your engineers, or in this case, facilities department, will see and that they know what to do. So, change toner, here we go, description, and then you can start filling in some information for these people. Go to locker A1, C3, whatever, take four of the different colors because you will know your end users will not tell you what kind of toner is gone, so take four of those. They will know what kind of printer it is, which kind of brand it is, so they already know which one to take. And in many companies I'm seeing, and this is not a joke, but people that need to change the toners, they have to wear protective clothing. Which is very funny, but that could be actually in here. So, do the work, do step A, B, C, and so on. Then, you can say which area we're talking about. So, this will be facilities. What the priority is, could be a medium, could be a high priority. This is something you need to discuss with the end users. What is for them printing, what kind of priority. But you fill this in here. And you also see that we already have impacted configuration items. We're not going to fill that in now because we're not yet knowing which printer it is, but you will see that it will be automatically in here as well. Okay? So what we did now is we just created an activity. Now this is not yet the template I need for my incident system because what I want is each time again an incident or a service request or something like that. Okay? So we're saving this one now. And the next template I'm going to build now is actually modify the standard incident template and fill it in so that facilities management don't have to do these things themselves. So now we have Tagat toner printer incident. We're going to copy paste this again to make it a little bit faster. We're going to choose the class incident, and you can see now with all these classes here, just to give you an idea, you can do the same thing for change requests. You can do the same thing for problems. It might not be a good idea to put a problem record on a self-service catalog, because that is something which is decided by the service desk, but you can also do this, for example, which we showed yesterday in a session, for service requests. But today, we're working with incidents. Here we go. Don't forget my management pack. And we're going to open up the form, and we're going to start filling it in. Affected user, you don't need to fill in, because out of the box, the person who is logging the issue will be the affected user. So, title, change toner, here we go, printers. Some description, again, I'm going to do this copy-paste-wise, much better. Put your classification here, printing problems. The source will also be filled in automatically. This exists because, you know, how did this message came to our service desk? Is it through console? Is it through configuration manager if you want automation? Is the operations manager with automation? Did somebody just send an email? But in this case, automatically it will say portal because people will fill it in from the portal. And what is the impact? Again, choose your impact, medium, discuss this with your end users. How urgent is it? High, for example. And which support group will do it? Well, this is something for facilities management. Okay. Again, affected services, affected items we don't know yet, so we're not going to fill those in, but they will be filled in automatically for you. Okay. Now, on the next step, what I have here is activities. Now, what do I need to do to make sure that this incident is resolved well. So anybody new that comes in can actually see immediately what he needs to do to fix this problem. Well, we're going to add our manual activity here. And that manual activity will be our change toner manual activity. Here we go. Save this one again. And now it's actually here inside, making sure that every time an engineer or somebody of the facilities management is opening it, he knows this is my activity need to do. He can open that up and see what the different tasks are. And I will come back to that later, but it's not possible with incidents, but when we talk about service requests, we can also add activities such as approvals. Meaning, if your manager needs to approve it first, well, this person is the affected user, and automatically his line manager, or his manager if it comes out of AD, will get an email or get some sort of notification, depending on which systems you are using, to make sure that, yes, he's allowed to do this. All right. So, we're creating now this template. Here we go. So what I've did now is I actually make sure that whenever we create a new incident, it's pre-populated with almost every information. That also means if now your service desk is being called and you still have to do it manually, that they can just say create incident from template, grab that, and save a lot of time because all of these fields are already filled in. But now let's go this one step further and let's go to the offerings. Okay? So I said service offerings, we just created one, the categories. Now I'm going to build a request offering, right? So we're going to create our request offering. Next. We're going to give it the title, request toner change. We're going to change the image here. We'll go. Again, a description. I'm going very fast about this, but make sure that... Oh, this is very important when you do this in real life. All these descriptions, the titles, things like that. And I'm going to select my template. And you see that you have, in my environment here, the option to offer incident templates to your portal, to offer service requests, and if your environment is built a little bit bigger than not just only one demo machine, you will also be able to add change templates on this one. People can ask for change. So I'm choosing an incident here. I should have somewhere here my toner printer incident. Here we go. And we're going to continue to build. Now here is what you can do to ask you questions on the portal. So what we're going to do is first, which printer? And now you will see how powerful this tool actually is. I'm going to change the prompt type and I'm going to change it to a query result. I'm going to say also which color, and I'll leave color, and I'll leave it now for text, but you see that you can actually make lists. You have here a lot of possibilities that you can use on that website out of the box. Again, no programming. You can add dates on it. You can make sure that they add attachments with screenshots or things like that. But in this case, to speed it up a bit, we're just going to keep it with some text. We're going to put this optional. Why? Well, many people know there's something wrong with the printer but have no idea which toner to change and so on. Okay? So we're going to go next. Now we're going to configure them. And I'm going to configure that which printer so that people don't have to type it. I'm going to see for one of my classes. Active Directory printer. What I want to show is the display name. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to make sure first people can select multiple objects. That means if we've got two printers at the same time, they're allowed to do that. This one's saying do not show object details. I showed you in the beginning that you could see all the details of that printer. If you don't want that, if they just need to see the printer name, you can do it here. But I'm going to add this one as a related item to the incident, as an affected configuration item to the manual activity. That means the CI, the configuration item of your CMDB, will be attached automatically to your incident. Again, no more involvement of IT. It will be automatically. Here we go. All right. Now, the only thing I have to do is actually map this one to the different fields within the incident, because people are filling something in, and I need to map that data to a field within the incident. So for my color, I'm going to map it here. And the other one, the change toner, which the printers is, that we kind of already changed to, we attached it to the CI, to the configuration items within the template. Also very important, knowledge base articles. Very easy to make. Add it. Here we go. And they will be able to read that. Now, this is maybe a bad knowledge base article because it says how to add a new toner. But in the end, it could be more information on how to see which toner they need to fill in or how to see what the name of the printer is. All right. So the question was, to repeat it for the recording, are these knowledge base articles stored in Service Manager? The answer to that is yes. But can you connect to external content? Yes as well. I will show that in a minute. Okay. So we're going to add a new toner. Here we go. And then we just have to publish it. Put an offering owner. Sorry, Oren, I'm using you again. You have to do it. Sorry. It's your job. Here we go. And now we're creating this. And now in the end, the last thing we have to do is actually take that template and attach it to our self-service offering, and we will be able to see it, and people will be able to use it. So the question was, and I will come back to you in a second, can that owner be a group? The answer to that is yes, not a problem. Some group out of Active Directory, if you're syncing or if you're adding manual groups to the system, yeah, that could be perfectly. Sir? Yes, that's correct. These sessions are recorded and they will appear somewhere. And I should ask the Microsoft guys where. So to repeat that answer, apparently if you log into my Taget and you go to my session, you will be see where it's the video is logged on. So this is great information. Now the last thing, I had to do is I got this published request offering, which is the toner change. I can now add it to my service offering, which is printing. And if all went well, and let's hope it does, that the demo gods are with me today. Now I'm going to go to home now. I'm going to go to my printing. Which apparently disappeared. No, that, sorry, I was using the wrong one here. And you see now that we have a printer out of paper incident. The request toner changed. So I'm going to do this. You will see that go to the request. I didn't program anything, and still my printers are appearing here. So I'm choosing one of those printers here. I'm only going to say one, but as I can see, in this case, I can choose two. I have no idea what the color is, so I don't care, and I say submit, right? Back here, you will see on your work items, you're going to go to your printer incidents view, and you see we got a new one here, change toner, which is pre-populated for you, which has a new activity that needs to be started, and that can be resolved, that works with server-level agreements and things like that. Service-level agreements, by the way, that you can also add into this system. I don't have time for this, but it's very easy to say, okay, this kind of type of incident, the printing incidents, need to be resolved in 4 hours, otherwise we got this green, no, the red ball, and after 2 hours we get a warning to the service desk manager, hey, we got an issue, and so on. Okay, so
where's the printer object that you mentioned?
Okay, sorry about that. So in our activities, this is the activity that facilities management has to do. And here you will see, at the bottom, impacted configuration items, and that printer actually says here, which you can now open, and it will give you all the information of that specific printer. All right. So let me go quickly. Oh, yeah, one last thing before I go back to my slides is, I actually told you about the different views. What I meant by views is this, for example, now you see I'm the administrator, meaning I see everything, and this is a lot of incidents, right? This is great for the service desk manager. which means he or she will have a lot of work looking through all of the incidents. But through the system, through System Center, you can actually say, no, we're going to work with role-based management, which means the group facilities management will only see printer incidents. Printer incidents getting warning with their SLA. Printer incidents are over SLA and close printing incidents. Or, you know, yeah, there's another question. Okay. All right. So the question is, if you have 100 printers, 1,000 printers in your environment, and on the self-service portal, the only thing that you want to show is actually make sure that they see printers where they have access to. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the answer to that, yes, that's perfectly possible. Because you can work with combined classes, because the class I now use was just Active Directory printers. But if everything is worked out well in your company and you have the security system on it and things like that, you can use those two things together, combine them, combine two classes, and then it will only show indeed the printers they have access to.
Thank you.
Go. All right. No, it's a little bit more difficult than that. You actually have to combine classes. But once you get to play with it and start with it, you will see it's not that difficult. The most difficult part is finding out which class that is. All right. That brings me to the item. Well, actually, something you just mentioned. Thank you for that. Who can do what? Building up a self-service portal or catalog, which we just seen, and you've seen I had many categories and many offerings in there, you need to make sure that you put security on it. If one of your offerings is going to be, well, create a new user, don't give that offering to everybody. Make sure that's only visible for HR department, for example, or for IT department, of course. You need to put security on it. And again, it needs to be able in the tool. Service Manager, the tool we're using, is very easy on this one, and we'll say, yeah, okay, we'll just put some security on it, and only this group, or even this user is allowed to see this request offering. But you need to think about this very well during the project. If you build these offerings, let people know. Not everybody is going to see who's allowed to see it. Okay. Make sure you always do evaluations all the time again. Don't think, yay, I got my service catalog, it's running, that's great. Evaluate this. But as IT department, don't spend too much time on it doing the evaluations yourself. Use your end users who are doing it on a daily basis. Let them do the evaluation. Let them say, well, this is good, but I have to fill in 5 fields and I only know 2. Okay, it could be that you need to change your portal. But this needs to be a continuous process. Again, should this be driven from IT? Probably not from operational IT. It should be more the people that are responsible for the change processes, things like that, or the improvement projects, or maybe the service desk manager. I talked about knowledge base articles, and I will come back to you and show you that in the demo. And my apology, I was forgotten for a few seconds here. But keep them up to date. Nothing is as bad as having a great solution for the first 3 months and then nobody of IT keeps the knowledge base articles and all the information inside up to date. So you're showing an SLA of 4 hours while management actually decided it's 2 hours. You need to make sure to keep that up to date. If you keep those things up to date, that also means people will go to that system much, much more faster. And last but not least, get the right tools for the job. And I'm not talking alone anymore about service manager in this case or any other service desk system and a nice portal and things like that. I'm also talking, make sure you get the tools to do this brainstorming, to create these workshops. Visio could be one of those tools. Maybe a bit difficult to do brainstorming, and I'm pretty sure you all know better products to do that. But get those tools for the job to make sure that you can achieve those things. And as my last tip on slides here is, what we've learned from many companies that these are kind of the things everybody wants from the beginning and are actually most of the time pretty easy to achieve, the quick wins. Make sure people can request a password reset. Oh, by the way, one valuable thing with this, if people lost their password, that most of the time also means they can't get to the self-service portal. So that means their colleague has to do it for them. Get a feel to it that says who is the affected user. Otherwise, the password of the guy filling in the form is reset, which is probably not the idea. Things like network setup. Yay, I just got my new computer. Great. I can't log in. I can't get there. Simple request, simple form. Probably even resolved with a simple knowledge base. Mobile email setup. Unfortunately, things we have to deal with. These days, everybody's got Windows phones and other vendors I'm not allowed to say here. Those things need to be also on the portal. They're easy to make. Printer issues. We just did this one. Phone and voicemail setup. Now, I'm an IT guy, and I'm a pretty technical guy, but everywhere I come to companies, they give me this digital voice over IP phone where I have to fill in 15 different numbers to do a setup or to get my voicemail. I have no idea. I don't know how to do that. Make sure this is one of these offerings that are there and that people just can go quickly say, hey, this, done. Computer and laptop setup, I think that's indeed one of the things that will be requested also a lot. Certainly when we start more and more working from home, that people come to the office and say, I'm going to work from home, can you help me here? Software installation, preferred automatically if you combine it with other products of the System Center suite, but if not, that they can just do requests, wait until the manager actually approves this, and then kind of IT can go in and do it manually or automatically if possible. Virus removal, this is maybe not that true anymore because of the system, but it used to be a very hot topic in many service desks. And mobile network setup, 3G cards, 4G in the US. Hey, I'm from Europe, we don't know 4G yet, so for me this is something new I've learned. Those are the things you can actually make quick wins and that everybody needs at a certain moment. Oh yeah, and VPN as well. Again, working from home. Yes, sir?
On the average, what is the number of categories that would be standard for the portal for end users?
So, if I understood correctly, on the average, what is the most important categories for your end users? The number of categories for your end users. Okay. A few tricks here are keep the number low, meaning get the default somewhere around 10. Maybe 12, maybe 15, not that really important. But don't put 100 categories. Take your categories larger and put more offerings for each category. That also means they don't have to click 5 times before they found one offering. So if you have one category, email, make sure that everything for email is inside there. Yeah? User management, everything is inside. That doesn't mean, however, if you have user management, and user management says, password reset, visible for everybody. Requesting a user could be under the same category, but not visible for everybody. Yeah. So, and another tip on that one is don't start or try to avoid the category other, because that basic sample something nobody will actually use. Nobody will look at that one. Okay. Yes, sir? Yes, so the question is, how easy is it to rearrange offerings? Is it possible to have an offering in two categories? The answer to that is, give me a few seconds, I will just show you. It's much better than me explaining. All right, so before we go to this part, let me just quickly show another few things here. One of the questions is, what about knowledge bases? And I'm hoping now that my demo machine doesn't die on me when I start doing things that weren't foreseen. Here we go, knowledge. I have my published knowledge articles. I will open this one. And you will see that it's indeed inside the system, but that you can actually put external content in. And one of the advantages of this system is that if you get external content in it, it will cache it. So let's say it's a web page, Binged web page, and it actually will cache that. So if the web page for some reason disappeared, that it will stay within that knowledge base article. So we got a title. People will be able to rate it, how good they find it. You know, you got descriptions. You can put classifications for people to search on the portal for knowledge base articles. Who's the owner? Who needs to make sure that it's everything up to date? That's Oren again. He's a famous writer, so he's good at doing these things. You can put comments in it, and then you got your internal content. Copy-paste, by the way, works if you want to work with graphs and things like that. And you can also put external content in it. Connected to your URL, it will be shown. It will cache it if necessary. And then you will see you also can put analyst content in, things that are not seen by the end user but can be used for the analysts. You can see your feedback system here. You can put it to related items. In this case, that will be printers and things like that. And you also will be able, of course, to see a history, who did what, who changed something, who rewrote something, things like that. Okay? And the second question, if I'm not mistaken, was how easy it is to change offerings. So let's go. I'm going to go to my published request offerings. I'm going to take my toner change here. I'm going to say add to service offering. Here we go. Now you will see that I can easily add it to, let's say, permissions. I also would like to see it in applications, things like that. Here we go. So now it's actually under three categories to start with. And you can also say, for example, if you're going to go to published service offerings, you can say, yeah, this is my data center offerings. These are the request offerings that are actually below it, like the printer out of paper incident. You can say now remove and it's gone. So rearranging it is not really that big of an issue. But still, my tip would be try to get these things before you start implementing those things. Yeah, I think this is indeed one of these things. And that's, again, think about evaluations. Get those evals out. Or if you're lucky, they'll do it through the knowledge base things. But make sure you got that information. Before I start on the last part, meaning more questions, and hopefully I can deliver you some answers, please complete an evaluation. Apparently, you can win great prizes, which I never win for some reason, although I do it all the time. And thank you very much already for being here. I hope you enjoyed it a bit and that you have some good information to start your own self-service portals. Thank you. Yes, could you actually come to the mic, please, if you wanted, to the microphone, because...
My question is...
Is it on, guys?
I'll just speak up loud.
All right.
Is it normal to tie back services to the dollars that you spend on those services?
Yes.
So you could actually would it be better to tie it to the category, I guess, and instead of to all the services under that category? So then you can see the your upper management. You can tell them what your investment in IT is, and if they have problems with the cost, you can actually break it down and say, well, if we remove this,
yep,
then you would be able to actually save these dollars.
Yeah, correct. So there are two ways. Sometimes they just put it onto category, the costs. Otherwise, they're going to do the cost per request offering. Now, what we see a lot is that it's actually not being calculated in the beginning. And it's second or third phase before they start calculating. Why? Because you will get some serious figures out of the system. It's got a very intelligent data warehouse in it, which I can't show you now because that part I didn't install. Otherwise, my demo machine really would be dead and not running anymore. But in the end, you can get a lot of good figures out of it, which means that you will actually see, hey, IT department just spent 90% of their time doing printing incidents.
Well, I guess I want to make sure that it's probably better to tie it to the category than to the services, because you're going to have a lot of services in this, just like 10 categories.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, thank you.
More questions?
Next slide.
I have to do next slide. All right. Oh, sweet. Right. So start evaluating. All right, sir. I'll go back to you. Sorry, man. Sorry, guys.
You said earlier that it did not do, I was wondering on workflow, if it can't do it now, is there any type of plans to have it where when a user puts in a request for, say, a new share, a new printer or something, that it can go be forwarded to a manager to approve before it actually goes to the...
Yeah, that's correctly. Give me 1 second. I'll quickly demonstrate this. Here we go. Let me go to work items. No, that will be templates. My apologies for that. Templates. I believe yesterday we built some service templates, which we call Tagit and something else. Yeah, this one. I'm going to go to properties. Okay. And what you will see here is actually I've built in the activities, but now you see kind of a workflow engine, right? And one of the things I could add now here is a review. Here you are. A review activity. Again, this is something you can template, okay? But now I'm just filling it in. You fill in the title, description, and so on. One of the things that could be, should be the line manager that should be approved. What is the approval condition? Automatic, potential, or percentage and something. Well, you can also add now specific managers, people that are responsible for that service, add them that they need to approve as well. And then with the correct notification systems, you can actually send them to their cell phones, to a specific app, things like that, or just do it via email. And with this system and the Exchange Connector, which is for free, you can actually make sure that a manager can respond through email and that, that this approval gets
in. Is there a way to base that upon the user? So if a user from one department signs on, then it goes to a separate manager than somebody that goes to another?
That's actually the thing I do there. Line manager should review. Now, very important, of course, at that moment, that means your CMDB must be okay. And if it's automated, it means that information comes from out of Active Directory.
Right.
And that means in Active Directory, that user should have the correct manager. But yeah, perfectly possible.
Thank you.
All right. Sir?
So I had a question. Based on what I've seen so far on Incident Manager and Orchestrator, the self-service part,
so
it seems like it would be pretty, it wouldn't be that hard to kind of set up some workflows, like to build new servers, scale out servers, shrink them back down based on requests.
This is actually something we did yesterday. The entire workflow with Orchestrator and with Data Protection Manager as the end thing doing something. But what you mean is, and this is one of these activities called a runbook automation activity. And you will see here, I have a runbook which we created in Orchestrator yesterday. And that runbook requests me some parameters. Now those parameters can be easily linked to the user input. So in this case, the user had to type in a server name, a database name, and the type of protection he wanted, gold, silver, you know, that kind of things. It gets into the system. You got your service request. It throws it to Orchestrator. Orchestrator does everything and gives a response back of, yeah, I succeeded. Hey, we close it. Or, no, doesn't succeed. Something's wrong. Somebody escalate this one, things like that. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Thank you.